The season of Christmas is always a great piece because it is the coming of the eternal gift that God just gives to mankind. We are undeserving of it. There's nothing we can do to obtain salvation on our own. It's only by the gift of God. The world has turned it into a lot of different things, and you know, we run with what we run with, but you know, we celebrate Christmas with trees and things of that sort. There's nothing wrong with those things as long as we keep Jesus in the center. Salvation only comes through Christ. And if you ask people in the world that even don't know Christ, they'll come up with something like this, which we're going to share today, that this is kind of wrong a little bit, but we celebrate it. Today I want to share with you the real story of Christmas, what it took, all the characters that are involved in it. I want to share with you that parts of it kind of was hard. A lot of it was hard. But I want to share with you as just in the beginning part of it, that whatever you celebrate, keep Jesus in the front. It is the gift that does truly keep on giving. But there will be a day when it's not given anymore. And we are without excuse because we are alive in a time right now where this gospel salvation gift is still available for those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Salvation doesn't come from anything that we do, but it comes from all that Jesus Christ has done. All we have to do is receive it, and we receive it by believing, and we receive it by faith. By faith. And faith is what stumbles people. But that's exactly what the Lord is looking for, is for us to have faith and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He did come. So I want to share with you today some things out of God's Word. And it's an amazing piece that every year that I read the story of Christmas that I continue to keep learning more and more. And this year, I'm not just picking a segment of it. I'm picking all the characters of it, which I've never done over the 20 years. So it's helped me through this. And I hope that it helps you as you walk away with hopefully the understanding of what and how Christmas came to be. So we're going to get ready to start, but I'm going to pray. Father, Lord, I just want to say thank you for the day that you're giving to us here today to worship, to sing, and to praise your name. And today we're going to fellowship together. That's part of what you want us to do. We fellowship in your name as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a church family. But Lord, right now we're getting ready to go into your word, and may it be spoken and received in the way that your Holy Spirit wants us to, that we may grow in our walk with you. So give me the words to speak today, that we might grow, and may your Spirit speak, and we might hear. In Christ's name, amen. So I want to talk about these characters today, and one of these characters, the first character I want to talk about is Gabriel. Now, Gabriel is an angel. Gabriel is mentioned about specific people have had contact with this angel named Gabriel. Daniel, we see Daniel, but Gabriel was giving the message. Gabriel seems to give, when we read him, he gives messages out. God gives him messages, he delivers it. And one thing I just know, that Gabriel gets very important. He gets very important tasks. He was given a task to Daniel. And you can read it in chapters 8 and Daniel and 9, and you'll see Gabriel speaks to Daniel about the end times. Very important stuff. And then we see this gap that we don't see him again until into the book of Luke. I want to read out of chapter 1, and as part of the Christmas story, it begins as Gabriel, it says in chapter 1, verse 19. I'm reading out of the Holman version. The angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. This is about Gabriel coming to Zechariah to give the news that he is going to be the father of a son. His name is, he's going to be the forerunner, John the Baptist, who's going to be in front of Jesus. But then we see soon that he is going to speak also to Mary. But what we do know about this is that Gabriel tells Zechariah what to name the son. Also, Gabriel tells Mary, Joseph, what he is going to be called too, what their baby is going to be called, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. So even the names and titles were already given, the names of these babies were given from heaven above. In Luke chapter 1, we see Gabriel again. But we also see our next character, which is Mary. In verse 34, he says, Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" And Gabriel had told her that she was going to become pregnant. And the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." So the angel delivering another message. And so we have Mary here. The characters are beginning to build here. And when these angels intervene, when they work with humans, and God is involved, something big is happening. Something big is happening. It backs up even there. It says in verse 30, "Then the angel told her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" So there was something about this young woman that God saw that the favor, not that she was his favorite. God does not have favoritism. He doesn't have favorites. But you can be found with favor, which means you are living and pleasing to God. Favor. So he says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." Wow. I'm sure she didn't see that one coming. She's excited about being married. She wants to get married to this young man named Joseph. They've got plans. You that are married, you remember some of the most giddy times in your life was right there before you were getting married. You were very happy, very all those things. And she's got this, and all of a sudden she's got we could call that the weight of the world, but the gift of the world is coming through her. But what I like to see is where even after the angel says, "For nothing will be impossible with God," she replies, "I am the Lord's servant." Her character is coming out already, just in conversations. Nobody has to tell her. She says, "I am the Lord's servant." God already, well, she was found with favor because she has this attitude. She has character that God was looking for, and she saw that in her. "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." That's awesome. Then the angel left her. Now, if you want some really cool stuff, go back earlier when the angel was talking to Gabriel, the angel Gabriel was talking to Zechariah, and you'll find that Zechariah gets, he's not going to be able to speak anymore because he had doubts. And he was a priest and should have known better, and he even had doubts. So he wasn't going to speak until the baby was born. And he says, "John," that's his name, John. But it's just amazing. And Gabriel puts a little bit of discipline on Zechariah for not believing. But here we got this young female. She says, "I am the Lord's servant." Isn't that so pleasing? You think God just really, I just think that just, if anything would just like melt God, I think it would be that. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be done according to your word." But it's not just about Gabriel and Mary. There's a very important character that we don't talk about very much. His name is Joseph. Now that, I have to move over to Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 1 here in verse 18. There's a little bit here, but I need you to hear the whole piece. The birth of Jesus came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. There is a lot in here about Joseph. The Bible says that Joseph was a righteous man. That means he was morally correct. He was Christ-like before he was Christ-like. He was Lord-like. He lived a life that was honorable to God. The Scripture says he was a righteous man. You know, it's hard to find when Scripture says that there was a righteous man. But there's also a Scripture in the Old Testament. And when the Lord saw Noah, Noah was a righteous man. Wow, to be put in the category of Noah and in Job. There's no other righteous man like him. Job is another character. To be put into that same category as Noah and Job is amazing. And here it is. The world would call this man a no one, but his name is Joseph. We don't talk about Joseph, but the Scriptures right out the gate says he was a righteous man. Folks, that just the word righteous, it's hard to. It is an amazing piece. It is an amazing piece. But also, a part of Joseph's character comes out that when he found out that his wife, his soon-to-be wife, they have some different cultural pieces. Sometimes they'll say they'll say it's wife, but they're soon to be married. But there was a part that she was pregnant. But he didn't throw a big fit about it. He wasn't going to throw her out there into the streets of saying and go around and tell everybody what she did. He just didn't want to destroy her. He wanted to divorce her privately, at least with some dignity. Wow, this man had great godly character. Where even some of us who have been through hard times have talked negatively about some people even going through. We see some things here in this man that's just at a godly level. What amazes me in this is that if you study Joseph a little bit, you'll see that Joseph, the angels never really appear to him in person. Per se in person. Like Gabriel did with Daniel, Mary and Joseph, or Mary and Zechariah. These were dreams. Joseph had four dreams that God gave to him. Four dreams. Four different times God moved and put angels in there through a dream to speak through Joseph. I don't know why it didn't appear, but it was through at least four different times. Scripture shows us that Joseph, God spoke to Joseph through dreams. Amazing. We don't see this in any other time with Mary. We don't see it with Joseph four times. I think that's pretty important. But another part that's very important is that it said that Joseph did everything that the Lord wanted him to do. Even with the other dreams, get up and move. Come back. It's time now to get up and go to Egypt. Now it's time to get out of Egypt. No, when you get here, and there's four times. And so we see that Joseph did all that the Lord had called him to do. But even with that, there are more characters, such as we see in the shepherds. As we see the shepherds coming in back into Luke chapter 2. Now, if you don't know it by now, in Matthew chapter 1, 2, Luke 1 and 2, there's your Christmas story. There's where your Christmas stories begin. But in Luke chapter 2, we see the things with the shepherds. Luke chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, we know that the angels appeared and to the shepherds that were tending to their flock. And it says in verse 13, suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. And when the angels had left them, in verse 15, and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported this message. They were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things they had seen and heard, which were just as been told. So now we have angels appearing to these shepherds. A lot of angel activity going on. That's awesome. Heaven coming down, showing awesome, but not going to the people that the world would say, we need to be in the limelight. Listen, the limelight and the stars, all those people that are famous, listen, who we view as famous, God doesn't view as famous. God looks for those who are living righteously. God is looking for those who he wants to be involved. God is the star, per se. And all the angels were there, and it stunned these shepherds. And that amazes me that the angels appear to the shepherds, not the Pharisees. Think about that. Not the scribes, not the Sadducees or the rabbis or any of them. No, but to common folk shepherds. Wow. They wanted to see the baby, the Savior. They were told that the Messiah was there, so they began to be, they went and saw, and they became witnesses. And the scripture says they went out and they shared their testimonies with others. And they came back praising and glorifying God. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't stop there. I think the Christmas story really, to me, is about 2 years long. It is about 2 years long. What a great night that was. Basically, God says, there's some people that need to see it, not just Mary and Joseph experiencing it. But it just seems that God wanted his son to be noticed. Come and see the son. Come see the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And you've had your children. Did you enjoy people coming and looking and your family coming around and saying, you know, and let me tell you, I think babies are all beautiful, but I've heard people say, oh, that baby's not pretty. I think God thinks all babies are beautiful. Even when they're missing digits, they can't see, maybe deformed or whatever. I believe a baby is just a miracle of God anyway. And God says, I have some people I want to see. I want them to see. But some time has passed, and there were some wise men. Now, here we have some wise men here. I think there's some wise men here. There's baby Jesus. Didn't look like that, but that's kind of how the world puts it. We just kind of put the whole... I'm not putting down on it. I'm just saying, let's just push a year and a half or so together. Okay? Because when the wise men come, that's going to be back in Matthew chapter 1 or chapter 2. When the wise men come, they're not going to a manger. They're going to a house. Different. Okay? Chapter 2, verse 1 of Matthew says this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him. This is one of the most oddest pieces in the whole story. Whole Christmas story. We put it in the Christmas story. People think that the wise men came up on the night that he was born. No, this is a year and a half to 2 years, somewhere in there. You hear me preach it all the time. God is doing more than you know. God is always doing something else. We always want to put three wise men in all of our Christmas cards. It's okay. You can put four. It's not a bad, but we know there are at least more than one. That says wise men. Not a wise man, but wise men. Your scriptures may say magi, whatever it may be. But they came from the east. God, listen to me. God chose foreigners to come. Didn't even use his own people. God chose foreigners to come. Now, they're going to do something different than the shepherds. We're going to read it. They're going to do something majorly different than the shepherds. A couple of things different than the shepherds. They're coming in some type of entourage. I'm not sure what it is. We see pictures of three camels and three kings looking like they come from... Listen, kings and not kings, with three wise kings, whatever it may be, they're not going to come alone. I'm guarantee you. People of importance, of wise men, are not coming alone. They're coming with protection. I almost want to kind of think it was several people. You go back and look at Solomon when the queen of Sheba came in. I don't think it was maybe that big of an entourage, but an entourage that come in and protected these men because they were on a mission. It just still amazes me that God chose foreigners. They stopped in and seen a guy named King Herod. And we're going to talk about King Herod in a moment. But these wise men, wow. Let me just jump down to verse 9. After hearing the king, that would be King Herod, we're going to come back to him. They went on their way. They left. After this little pit stop there in Jerusalem, they went on. Okay? It says, and there it was. There it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. What we see here now is another display, the difference of what we see. When they come in there, they fall on their knees and they worshiped. Shepherds didn't worship. Foreigners were the first people to worship Jesus. What? Wow. That is amazing. That is a jaw dropper right there. Foreigners were the first people to come and worship Jesus. Wow. They fell to their knees and they worshiped this baby. It also says in scriptures that they came into a house. It wasn't a manger, it was a house. They've already settled in. You know, when you have that first baby, you get that house, you're scared to death, you're trying to figure out how to pay your bills, you do those things. And you have some visitors come. They had visitors come. And scripture says that these visitors, and they just knew. The only other people that would drop to Jesus on a knee when Jesus was walking were those people that were looking for a miracle. This is really almost like the only true worship. We don't want anything from you. They didn't want anything from Jesus. They came a long way to worship. But not only worship, they came prepared with gifts. They came prepared. They brought treasures. And out of their treasures, they gave gifts. And they came prepared to give. Isn't that amazing? To give to who? To give to Jesus. Oh, think about it. When you give a baby a gift for Christmas, the baby don't really open it. You kind of help open it, but you know that gift, those things are there for him. So they brought these things for Jesus. Now, we're not going to get into all we might work in these on Wednesday, but we're not going to work these gifts tonight or this morning. We're going to go bypass that. But I just want to let you know the scripture says they brought gifts and they gave them. And we're going to come back to one of these gifts in just a moment, but not much. But there was another part of the story as I continued to dig into my reading, it's like, these light bulbs, just drop. You know how it is when you study God's word. But God just wanted me to say, really dive into it. Don't forget the star, Jimmy. The star. Well, let me check out, what does it talk about the star? Well, Psalms 147, verse 4 says this. He counts the numbers of the stars, and he gives names to all of them. You know, there's one in Revelation, I believe it's in chapter 8. I could be wrong, but it's in Revelation. There is a star called Wormwood. Wormwood. It's going to fall from the sky. It has a name. It's going to fall, and it's going to land in the water, and it's going to poison water. That star has a name. We don't know what this star's name is, but it did something different than all other stars. These wise men said, what did they say? They said that we saw the star in back in Matthew chapter 2. It says, for we saw his star and its rising. Huh. It is a moving star. As we saw, at least that it was rising. We also see in the part where it says, and there it was, the star that we had seen at its rising, it had led them. It was moving. It had led them. It had led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. That's an amazing piece. The star is an important part of this Christmas story. Now, I said that this is kind of a more than just a moment. This is about a year and a half or so, 2 years. Satan is also in this Christmas story, working through. Satan is not attacking Jesus straight up, but he's attacking it through people. That's what he does. He wants to destroy the gift of hope and salvation for mankind. Satan wasn't trying to destroy Jesus himself, but he was working through people to get it done. Hasn't he been doing that? Trying to destroy God's people? Have you read the book of Esther? You know anything about World War II? Yeah. And here trying to destroy. So who do we see that through? We see that through King Herod. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Then Herod, then he realized that he had been outwitted by the wise men. He flew into a rage. He got angry. The wise men they were warned in a dream by an angel not to go back to Jerusalem. Once again, angels are in the move. They are moving, doing. This is all very important things that are happening. And he realized that he'd been outwitted by the wise men. But it wasn't the wise men that he was outwitted by, was it? It was God. God sees the heart. If he saw Mary and said Mary's been found favor with God, and Joseph being found as a righteous man, God also knows who's got an evil heart. He wasn't outwitted by the wise men. He was outwitted by God. The angels gave the wise men the dream. Do not go back. He gave orders to massacre all the boys in and around Bethlehem. So he gave an evil order. Kind of sounded like Hitler, didn't it? Now we have to add another group in here. We have to add the boys in here. Part of the Christmas story. And all the boys in around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under. That's where we come up with the two-year piece. 2 years and under, in keeping with the time he had learned from the wise men. Then that what was spoken through the book of Jeremiah, the prophet, it was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be consoled because they are no more. Wow. It's a sad part. But King Herod gave these evil orders to destroy the gift that God wanted to give to you and I. That's how powerful this gift is. It wasn't just for the gift of that time and generation, but that gift is still giving today. But that prophecy was fulfilled. It was fulfilled during this time. But we also learn from these baby boys that were a part of, I believe, part of this Christmas story. They were innocent boys. Yes, we are all born into sin, but they were innocent. Being innocent doesn't mean you make you sinless, but they were innocent. I want you to know that they were the first martyrs for Jesus. I know we want to say Stephen, and some of your games will say Stephen was the first martyr for Jesus. No. It was these baby boys. They died because of one thing. Because somebody was looking to destroy Jesus, and they died for Jesus. If you person who dies for Jesus, being persecuted for Jesus and dies, they're a martyr. These children, these boys, they didn't do anything to cause it. They just were in a place where Jesus was born. And evil wanted to destroy every single one of them, to blow out the eternal flame, to blow out the gift that man needs for redemption with God. And then it goes on in verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and he says, get up. Now, if you look back in verse 13, it says, after they were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. This is when they're still back in their home. He says, get up. Exclamation point. Get up, you need to go now, because you need to go and flee now. Herod's coming. The second get up is different. That get up is not like an extreme get up, but get up, you need to kind of pack it up and go. You don't have to like immediately go, but you need to get up and go. There was some time. It wasn't under distress. But the first get up was. I wonder why they was given gold, frankincense, and mirth, and we can talk about the mirth and the death, we can talk about those things. But the gold was very important. Because I think what it was here is that when the angels told Joseph to get up, get up, you got to leave, because the soldiers were coming. They had to leave everything. They had pretty much leave everything. Can't take it with you. Not going to call a van, and not going to call these, you know, U-Haul trailers and things like that. I think they kind of went like the way they came. I think God was preparing them for a move to Egypt. God doesn't always tell us what the future beholds. All the details, He doesn't tell us. So Christmas is here. And today I wanted to share with you that the Christmas story is maybe a little different than you thought it was. Or you might learn something that you didn't know. What I take out of it is all these cool, awesome little details was this, that the gift of Jesus was protected, was attacked, was beautiful, was a little messy in places, but God had it all in His hands. And nothing happens without God knowing. Because the gift was so important that God chose to send His Son through some common folk, righteous people. People not of noble names, of high-fluting people, just some common folks. His child wasn't going to be born on the top floor of the palace, and not even in a hotel room, but in a manger. God was showing us what humbleness looks like. And He wasn't afraid to be humble Himself. So just as humble as it is, that's how we are supposed to approach Jesus, with humbleness. Coming to Him with all that we have. Not getting caught up with all the gifts, but coming to Christ with humbleness. To receive the gift with all humbleness. Every character in the Christmas story has an amazing part. From Mary, Joseph, to the star, to the wise men, to Gabriel, the forerunner, to Zechariah. But if they all centered in a group, there'd be one that would stand up and stand out, and that would be Jesus himself. They weren't there for themselves. They were all there for one, this baby. His name is Jesus. And he was the gift for all mankind. Then and still today, I pray that you have the gift that all these characters were a part of. The Bible says no one comes unto the Father except he says, Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Scripture says today is the day of salvation. He that has a son, 1 John says this, he that has a son has life. That's Jesus. But he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. God says, God so much. He says, I love the world so much that I gave my one and only Son. Whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus says, I have water that is everlasting. Wow. Revelation says, I stand at the door and knock. Woo. You see the theme? Jesus wants a relationship with you because God wants to restore mankind to himself. I pray that you have salvation today. If you don't, you can receive that gift by acknowledging and coming to a place in your life where you believe and you have faith that the Christmas story, that Jesus is who he says he is. Without Christmas, there is no Easter. Without baby Jesus, there is no sacrifice on the cross. And without God's love, there is no baby Jesus. And without Jesus, there is no salvation. Without Jesus, there is no eternity with God. And without you acknowledging who Jesus and believing who God and Jesus is, there is no everlasting life with you and Jesus being together without you receiving him and who he says he is. Let's stand. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to come. Maybe you want to thank Jesus for all that he's done for you.